Blog Talk Radio.
Sure I am that this day, now, we are the masters of our fate. That the task which has been set us is not above our strength. That its pangs and toils are not beyond our endurance. As long as we have faith in our cause and an unconquerable willpower, salvation will not be denied us. In the words of the psalmist, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Not all the tidings will be evil. On the contrary, mighty strokes of war have already been dealt against the enemy. Wounds have been inflicted which have bitten deep and will fester and inflame. What kind of a people do they think we are? Is it possible they do not realize that we shall never cease to persevere against them until they have been taught a lesson which they and the world will never forget? Here we are, together, facing a group of mighty foes who seek our ruin. Here we are, together, defending all that to free men is dear. If we had taken common measures for our safety, this renewal of the curse need never have fallen upon us. Do we not owe it to ourselves, to our children, to tormented mankind, to make sure that these catastrophes do not engulf us? It is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British people will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice, and in peace.
Welcome to the English Defence League on radio show, broadcasting live from blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Before I continue, and I just want to say that Sir Winston Churchill's speech that he made, I was thinking as he was saying it, how it reflects on where we are today. How those words mean is more pertinent today than maybe back in there. Maybe he was looking towards the future. Maybe at the time it was a war thing. But those words now mean something to every free, loving person out there. That's how important those words were. So there you go, guys. You listen to that going, and if you're like me, you love your freedom. You've got to fight for your freedom. Then that's what we opened the show with Sir Winston doing what Sir Winston did the best with some of his speeches. It'll make you think a bit more about the way things are today, and how freedom is something worth fighting for and something worth dying for, to defend the freedoms that we used to have post the situation we have today. But let me continue. Welcome to the English Defence League Radio Show with your host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell. Alice this evening, Arjen, the Tornado Rennie. But as I think, it depends on the times with Jan, and it's what time permits. And of course, Dave Agdor-Milner. Tonight we have some interesting things to talk about, highlighting a great week in the news so far, and it's not even the end of the week. Laugh out loud. Headlines from across the globe, from the sublime to the very ridiculous. The new UK Prime Minister, Mr. Boris Bobo the Clown Johnson, starts off with some encouraging statements, and the fake street media sets up their tents outside number 10. And HMP Belmarsh, they're putting on the clown makeup. But tyranny is no joke. Enough. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for people to prevail is that good men do nothing. And, of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke. And those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And, of course, that was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. So without further ado, let me bring on the one, the only, Mr. Dave Agdor-Milner. Good evening, Dave. And as he comes crashing through the door there, grabbing a handful of biscuits and giving... Actually, Dave just give a twirl then as he gets in. Dave, good evening, mate. Hope you're well, brother.
Yeah, good evening to you, Jeff, and good evening to everybody in the UK. Good afternoon to everybody in the United States, and hello to everyone else around the world, and of course off Earth. Yes, we've got quite the show. You guys have a new prime minister, kind of someone that that we've known before, with a bit of a reputation. That's kind of why Jeff and I call him Bobo the Clown. His press name for you Americans is his cool press name. You know how they like to shorten people's names. Is Bojo, but Jeff and I like Bobo the Clown. I mean, it's politics, and we know that's all a circus, and we also know the media gets into a big circus-like atmosphere with things like this, and especially with Tommy Robinson and things of that nature. And that's where we're going to start, folks, is with a couple of audios that Jeff found. Well, one audio that Jeff found that I had to break into two. And, you know, it gives you guys a little bit of a brief of what is going on with Tommy Robinson right now in prison. Well done little piece here for a guy driving to the airport to a train station in a car. Fairly well detailed. Jeff, and I want to thank you for finding that, man.
Dave, sorry to break in, but I thought I'd better. It looks like we've got one of these electrical storms up. I see the lightning flashing all around me. So if I do go quiet, can you hold the thought for me, brother, in case it knocks things out? So sorry, Dave, I didn't want to stop your flow there. I just need to tell you what was going on around me, bro.
No. You know, it will do. Yeah, guys, this is live podcasting, and yeah, since neither Jeff nor I are associated with a big, you know, have a big studio or whatnot, you know, doing this out of our homes. Yeah, when a big electrical storm comes up, if it gets too bad, yeah, we might actually wind up having to shut down our computers just so that they don't wind up a big fried nugget. You know, better to have a little glitch right now than to not be able to bring you guys a show later on. So, yeah, Jeff, you know, just watch that. If it gets too close, brother, yeah, I'll do the best I can to just hang on to the show until we get stuff done that we need to do. Okay, so you know, you just do what you need to do.
The Sky TV, by the way, Dave, with something or some signals are, it's pretty lively if it's taking it out already. So I just want to let you know, and of course, our great listeners out there, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well. And that's another thing, Jeff, I think we pride ourselves on here is we don't hide behind anything. We're pretty well open, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, it's all go when we do these things, man. So yeah, you just you know, stay safe. If you need to be off for a little while, then, you know, if you can give me a warning ahead of time, that's fine. If you can't, that's fine, too. Just shut down when you need to because, you know, again, just like tyranny is no joke, playing around with lightning is no joke either. So,
wow.
Man, you know, you just take
yeah,
care of yourself over there.
Just
you know what I'm
jump. There's a big flash. Oh, my goodness, mate. I thought if we had a storm, it's going to be really, really bad. And actually, there's a sort of the wind is picking up strength, things have been blowing about. So, we're heading for a big one, Dave. Just want to fill in with you, Dave, just in case you lose me all of a sudden. We got, ladies and gentlemen, if you lose me,
not a problem.
Dave's got plenty, we've got plenty of things to be talking about on the show. And oh my God, I just see my tree almost being blown up. Dave, there's a lot of bloody hurricane blowing through, but mate, unbelievable. I wish I was at a live studio. Oh my God, something just got hit over the back there. Sorry, Dave. So it's quite lively. You understand me, bro? It's I wasn't quite expecting that to be. Thunderbolts are frightening, very, very frightening indeed. Galileo, Galileo. Sorry, Dave.
we don't even have that song in the studio, man. That's a good song, too, by the way, by Queen.
Dave. Cut it up and put a little bit in.
Leaves
are being blown from the tree as I talk. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm coming to you live in a storm-torn East Anglia. The rain is starting to fall. The trees have been blown around, but I'm still here. I will stand my post, no matter what. Oh, Dave, I'm saying so dramatic. Sorry, mate. Take it over, mate.
It's all good in the hood, Jeff.
God.
You just take care of yourself. Yeah, you just take care of yourself over there,
will,
man.
Mate,
I mean, part of the reason why I think the storm is so intense is because for everybody who doesn't know this, the UK is currently experiencing quite the heat wave. We're talking about temperatures that touch 100 degrees Fahrenheit, not something that they're used to there. So storms, when they happen, are going to be more intense. We, again, living in the States, we know that here. You know, when it's you know, really hot like that beforehand, before a thunderstorm, yeah, they can be pretty bad. So, yeah, you just look after yourself. In the meantime, brother, if you approve,
things come intense, I'll just shut everything down, you know, and just be on the safe side. And that will be, I'm going to do it. Dave, give me about 15 minutes and I'm going to turn everything off because it's coming through now. I think I'm ready for a few strikes of lightning. So I think I better shut things down. Oh, my God.
All right.
Dave, I've got to go, mate. Got to go.
Okay, brother. All right. That's fine, Jeff. That's fine. Okay. Yeah, guys, we definitely want Jeff to take care of himself and, you know, make sure that he's okay. So he's going to shut down, but we do have some things to run for the show, and it'll be a little bit less discussion between me and Jeff than it ordinarily would because Jeff won't be here, which is kind of messed up, but that's okay. You know, as long as Jeff takes care of himself, that's really all that concerns me. Okay, guys, we're going to run the first of a two-part thing that I made up. Jeff found this audio, and this is from Ezra Levant of Rebel Media. Now, if you want to go to the Rebel Media and find his stuff, definitely do. He is he's quite a good reporter, and this is real journalism, guys. This isn't that nonsense that the tabloids have been putting out in the UK, which is, frankly, guys, just embarrassing, all right, to the tabloid people and to the people in the regular papers, some of which do monitor this program. Guys, really, how you can look at yourselves in the mirror after printing lies is just beyond me. It really is. You guys really need to get together and find some journalistic integrity. Anyway, guys, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and play the first of these two audios. Each of these, by the way, guys, are right around, the first one will be just over 8 minutes long, and the second will be about 9.5 minutes. I'm going to start with this first one. And, guys, if you're listening to this, this is the English Defense League radio show, and this is going to be Ezra Levant. This was recorded on the 23rd. So here we go, guys. We're going to run this first bit.
For the Rebel.media, I'm Ezra Levant. I am in a car driving from Her Majesty's Prison Belmarsh to Paddington train station, where I'll then get on the train to Heathrow Airport to go home to Canada. So I am in a rush, which is why I'm filming this in a car. But I would like to take this car ride to tell you about my prison visit with Tommy Robinson. He, as you know, was sentenced for contempt of court to a 9-month prison term, and this is on top of the time he's already served. Now, some of that time served will be deducted from this sentence, so he'll wind up being freed from prison in mid-September, but he has been put in the harshest, most maximum security in London for a non-criminal offense of contempt of court. By the way, no British journalist has been imprisoned for contempt of court in nearly a century. So the reason I came to visit Tommy is not just because it's a good thing to do to visit someone in prison, but because I was deeply concerned that the prison authorities would abuse Tommy in the same manner that they had abused him at the prison he was in last year, HMP Onley. Elements of that abuse include putting him in a small box, solitary confinement, with no human contact for 23.5 hours a day, no television. And then the half-hour day he was let out, he was screamed at by some of the Muslim prison gangs that were wishing him death. He actually had death threats hand-delivered to his cell door, very specific death threats. It was not just physical abuse, but the psychological abuse of 10 weeks in solitary confinement, which is illegal, by the way. And finally, there was the starvation element, because Tommy's food was marked Stephen Yaxley Lennon and hand-delivered to his cell, the Muslim prison gangs that prepared it could tamper with his food in a way they couldn't tamper with food in the cafeteria style line. So there were various elements of his torture last time, and I use that word on purpose because it is psychological and physical torture. As evidence of that, I point out that he lost 40 pounds in 10 weeks. So that's why I visited Belmarsh today. And my immediate questions were, has he been mistreated by either prisoners or staff? Has he been starved? Has he had any threats? Has he been subjected to physical or mental duress of any sort? And let me give you the answers to those questions and other answers that I heard in my approximately 1 hour meeting with Tommy today. First of all, Tommy is in a complete isolation unit. It's a form of solitary confinement in that he literally has not seen a single other prisoner in his time at Belmarsh. He just hasn't seen any. And we were led into a distinct part of the prison where there simply was no one else. There were so many prison staff who were working on Tommy's file. Tommy tells me that even to unlock his door, to take him from his cell to the exercise bike, from the exercise bike to the weight room, from the weight room to the shower room, two guards are assigned to every one of those steps. It's a bizarre handling unit. I don't know how many prison staff are focused on Tommy, but it's enormous. It's not like HMP Onley where they just threw him in a hole and said, ha-ha, see you in 10 weeks. It's sort of the opposite. I mean, he is in solitary in that he has no other contact with prisoners, but he does have contact with prison staff. And he tells me that the governor of the prison, the warden, as we call it in North America, actually visits him every day, even just for a moment, just to say, how's it going? I thought that was very interesting. Not only is the warden making himself available to Tommy, but he's inspecting to make sure things are well done. That I found that very interesting and relieving. Tommy says he's not worried about his food. He says it's prepared in the hospital unit or the hospital wing he's in, and that it's not run by prison gangs. Remember, this is basically a prison within a prison. I mentioned that Tommy is isolated, has no other contact with prisoners whatsoever. In particular, response to a front page story in the Daily Star that was picked up by dozens of other mainstream media outlets in the United Kingdom that claimed that Tommy was in the prison showers with other prisoners, and he was assaulted by a 70-year-old pensioner who dropped Tommy with one punch. Now, if you've ever seen Tommy, you know that it's unlikely that someone would jump him in prison if it was just one guy and 70 years old and knock him down with one punch. But who knows? It's possible. But, of course, that was a lie. Tommy has not been in communal showers. He has not even seen any other prisoner. Other details in that story were laughably false, that Tommy came in strutting and was mocked by prisoners of every race. I say again, no other prisoners in Belmarsh have seen Tommy, and Tommy has seen no other prisoners. For the Daily Star to run that story on the front page, a complete fabrication, proves the essential point that Tommy and others have made, which is you just can't trust a word the mainstream media says. Now, one rumor that I heard that Tommy confirmed was true is that one of the three prisoners in the special handling unit is Julian Assange of WikiLeaks. And although Tommy has not physically seen him, Tommy can call up to him and Assange can call down. And they've had conversations that way. And Tommy says that Julian Assange is a good bloke who's supportive. And I didn't get too much into the detail of their conversations, but I found it very interesting. Again, Tommy has not physically seen him, but they've had this conversation. Assange is in the hospital, really, in this isolation unit, and Tommy is in what they laughably call a suite. I mean, it's still a cell, and he's in there by himself, but unlike HMP Onley, it has a TV. Now, that might sound frivolous or trivial, but when you have no human contact, having a TV just for the sound of a human voice, just for some distraction, is essential to psychological well-being. On the subject of prison visits, Tommy is only allowed 3 visits a week. Now, it should be more. The prison, in fact, Tommy does have a legal right to a daily visit, but through general incompetence and mismanagement, the prison says they're short-staffed on several of the days a week. So he really only has 3 visits a week, and he's, in fact, only been visited once by his family. And I find that unacceptable, given that he is a civilian prisoner, a civil prisoner who's committed no crime. As to his food, I already mentioned that he does not believe that it's being tampered with, and he does have the ability to buy some food from the canteen. It's not a question of Tommy being short of funds. It's that there's a maximum amount that prisoners may spend. That also addresses the telephone issue. Tommy is only allowed a certain maximum number of minutes in the phone call, and obviously they're all listened to and screened. So he has to be very judicious with the amount of minutes he spends, because obviously he wants to talk to his family. Let's see, it was a one-hour conversation, and I just observed that he seemed to be in proper health. He was wearing comfortable clothes of his own. He wasn't wearing prison stripes or an orange jumpsuit or whatever. He was wearing his own clothing from home. He had grown a bit of a beard in the 12 days he's been in prison.
And there you go, folks. That's the first part of the Ezra Levant report. A couple of things do come to mind listening to that. And, you know, I will get into those. But before I do, I'm going to go ahead, since it's close to the top of the hour, and run the SHR Media promos. Now, this program, the English Defense League radio show, for those of you who are listening to this through the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com, can be heard live on Thursdays and Sundays at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States and 8:30 p.m. in the United Kingdom. All right? That is because that, for the people who are listening to this live right now on blogtalkradio.com, is because it's also being transferred over, once the shows are done, to the SHR Media Network, my show on there, the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. All right? Now, this show is associated with SHR Media, obviously, and there are a lot of good programs on there. I'm going to go ahead now and run these promos. Guys, this will take about 3.5 minutes, and then we're going to come back with the second half, or the second part, of Ezra Levant's report on Tommy Robinson in prison. So this will give you guys a chance to run and quickly grab a drink or whatever, and then please come back and join us. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
Hey, this is Michael Wright.
And I'm Shannon Wright.
Join us for The Right Way with Shannon and Mike, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 9 a.m. right here on SHR Media.
Why are they joining us?
For fun things like sports, politics.
Oh, maybe some news and entertainment?
And all kinds of other things.
Money and recipes and events, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so join us Monday through Thursday, 7 to 9 a.m. here on SHRmedia.com.
From a public locker inside a dilapidated Long Island rail station comes a show designed to piss off liberals using truth, facts, and ridicule. The Lid Radio Show, featuring the conservative voice from the People's Republic of New York, the Lid himself, Jeff Dunnett. Tune in every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com. At Lid Radio, we fight for the truth, justice, and a good kosher T-bone. If you don't listen, Hillary Clinton might sneak into your bedroom in her house coat late at night and blame you for her election loss. It's the Lid Radio Show with Jeff Dunnett.
It's your business diva here, Melanie Collette. I am inviting you to a front row seat as I discuss some of the most intriguing details of wealth and finance with today's movers and shakers in the world of business. Listen in and discover financial truth on a global, domestic, and household scale. Uncover topics that will impact your wallet today and in the future. Money Talk with Melanie airs Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. East, 2 p.m. West, right here on SHR Media and High Plains Pundit Talk Radio. You can't afford to miss it.
The new show on the SHR Media Network, Sackheads Against Tyranny. On shrmedia.com, go there quick like a bunny, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, every Wednesday, live and direct on the SHR Media Network, shrmedia.com. Be there.
Broadcasting behind enemy lines in occupied California, a mere 2 miles from the state capital, the Bloviating Zeppelin's Berserk Bobcat Saloon Radio Show can be heard every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific and 11 p.m. Eastern, only on the SHR Media Network. Go to shrmedia.com to listen. You can also watch on the SHR Media Facebook page and the SHR Media YouTube channel. No goldfish were abused in the making of this ad. Conservative media done right. You're listening to the SHR Media Network.
And welcome back. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Mitchell, who right now is experiencing a thunderstorm. So he is currently unavailable, but he will be coming back. All right. And in the meantime, he's kind of asked me to hold the fort for him. And I've been playing an audio that Jeff found from Ezra Levant of the Rebel Media. All right. And Mr. Levant has been talking about the conditions under which Tommy Robinson has been living in prison, HMP Belmarsh. And it's just a few things that I have to say from the first portion of that, which we played in the first part of the show, which is, well, first of all, I used to say of TVs in the cells, I used to say, all right, prisoners, well, and I still do when it comes to people who should legitimately be in prison. They're there to be punished, not to enjoy themselves. But in Tommy Robinson's case, he shouldn't even be in prison. So I'm very happy to hear that he does have at least a TV to help pass the time, because from everyone that I've known who's been inside, that is the main thing, just trying to find some way to pass the time. It sounds like things are encouraging so far in that situation. But as you're going to hear in this second part of Ezra Levant audio, we have to be very vigilant and very careful to make sure that it stays that way. And it's not all good in there. As you heard, first of all, in the previous audio, Mr. Robinson should be getting a daily visit, but the British prison system does have issues of its own. We learned things about that when we heard about what actually happened to Kevin Crean, that he fell through the cracks of the system and they just didn't take care of him as they should have done. But in this case, there are too few staff to allow Mr. Robinson the daily visits that he really is due in his situation. But at least he gets three visits a week. And please refer folks back to the show that we did on Sunday for a special message from Tommy Robinson and his family. He's asking people, the general public, his supporters, not to request visits with him in prison. He's wanting to save those for his family and his legal team. So, guys, you know, everybody wants to see him. We all know this. And it's, again, as he said in the message, it's natural to want to do that and check on him and make sure he's okay. But he really needs those visits for his family and for his legal team. So now, guys, I'm going to go ahead and play. This is about 9.5 minutes long. The second part of this from Ezra Levant, just to let you know, guys, once in a while there'll be little audio dropouts in there and that sort of thing. And that is, I did the best that I could when I edited this, but Ezra Levant was driving a car to a train station, and obviously he was worried more about watching the traffic than he was about trying to make good audio. He still did a great job under that circumstance. But there were times when, of course, he had to do things like turn his head to look for other cars and things. So I think it pretty well came out. But if there are any little anomalies or anything like that, it's for that reason. Still, I think it turned out okay. And, guys, I'm going to go ahead and play this now. You are listening to the English Defense League radio show. And here we go once again with Ezra Levant. This is part two.
But his eyes are not sunken. He does not look emaciated. In fact, he says that he's getting fit. He rides a stationary bike for an hour in the morning, and he said that given the isolation nature, he had access to the gym the other day, and the entire gym was to himself. He said it was quite odd. I asked him how the staff were, and he told me quite bluntly that the staff were very good to him, and I found that a relief. I want to tell you one little wrinkle when I arrived at the prison early, I mean, I was told to arrive 45 minutes early to check in, and I arrived even earlier than that, and I was being very compliant with all the rules because obviously I didn't, I mean, I'd come a very long distance. And we were waiting in a common visitors holding area with other prisoners who were going to see the general population. And one of the prison guards surprised us by saying, "Surprise, you will not be in the same room as Tommy. You will be separated by a glass wall, and you can speak to each other by telephone through the glass wall." And I said, hang on. That is not right. That is not right. What is going on here? This is a change. Why is this happening? This is unacceptable. Why are you limiting his human interaction? Why can't I even shake the guy's hand? By the way, we're not allowed to take anything in. I had to take my watch off. I had to take my jacket off. I had to take my belt off. I had to empty everything, not even a scrap of paper. I wanted to bring in a piece of paper. I could bring nothing in, no cell phone, nothing at all. They searched us in a variety of ways for drugs, weapons, phones, everything. It was extremely high security. And at the last minute, this guard says, "Surprise, there will be a barrier between you, and you have to speak to each other by phone." Now, I'm certain they listened to every word we said. There was literally a camera in the room anyways. I assume they were recording us, the audio of our conversations. But when I heard that they were pulling that trick, I was a mix of terror and rage. Terror in that I thought how capricious the prison system is. Remember, this is the same prison system that moved him from HMP Hull, a safe prison, to HMP Only, a deadly prison. And I thought, here comes that capricious whim, and we don't even know he's making the decisions. I just about lost it. I said to this guard, who was just a workaday guard, I mean, she wasn't a boss, she wasn't the warden, I said, "If that is the case, if you are starting to have whimsical and capricious treatment of the prisoner, and when he's got," and I was there with two of Tommy's friends who we sort of jammed in the same time slot, I said, "If you are doing this to him, I swear to God, I will tell the world every indignity and every restriction you put." I was so upset. Even though it was just a regular security guard, I let her know that the prison that any mistreatment of Tommy, even a small thing, would be globally known within an hour of my release, my leaving the visit. She went and spoke to her superiors and came back and said, "Oh, no, I was wrong. You'll be able to meet him after all." Now, I don't know if she was really wrong or if they blinked on that, but that's what I'm talking about when I'm doing these prison reports. In general, Tommy seems to be in good health. He said, by the way, he gets a daily medical exam. He says he gets, you know, poked and prodded and blood tests and every day. I should tell you that in his 10 weeks in HMP Only, he had no health exam whatsoever. He also had a psychologist or a psychiatrist talk to him. So he is getting full physical and mental health. It really is a special handling unit. I mean, really, there's only three prisoners in his little series of suites. One's Julian Assange, one's him, and one's a murderer of some sort. So he went from being literally thrown in a hole in Only to being measured and observed and poked and prodded continuously. Now, I suppose this is the better of the two. The fact that he's in this maximum security prison, in this holding cell designed for extreme prisoners, is a joke if it weren't so outrageous. I mean, Tommy is not in jail for a crime. It was a civil offense of contempt of court. But I have to say that my fears were somewhat allayed. He's 12 days into his sentence. He has not been starved. He has not been poisoned. He has not been threatened. He's not been abused. He has not received access to his lawfully entitled prison visits, and that's a concern. The fact that that guard tried or said we were going to be behind a pane of glass told me that there's still a whimsical approach. He may have just been mistaken. I'll grant that that's a possibility. But given Tommy's treatment in the prison system before, I'm extremely skeptical. I spoke with Tommy at some more length, and I left after about an hour because, as you can see, I'm in the car. I got to rush to Paddington Station and get straight to the airport. I got to get on that plane. But I told him that I would continue to visit, and he was glad that I would. And, of course, we had talked about this before his sentence, because it's important that he stay in proper care. Because you'll recall his last sentence, everything was fine at HMP Hull until the day it wasn't. And without warning or explanation or appeal, he was simply switched prisons. So So I intend to return to visit Tommy several times. I don't know if it's weekly or every 2 weeks. I don't know. To ensure that things do not change, because in the prison authority, decisions are made that are not transparent, that are difficult, if not impossible, to appeal. And frankly, given his isolation, we don't even know about it. What we do get from the mainstream media instead is purely fabricated lies, like the story of him being assaulted in the shower. What a lie the Daily Star told. So that's my slightly more extended version. I'm going to, like I said, I couldn't take notes in there. I was not allowed a pen or paper or a phone to write things down. It was a one-hour conversation. It was a very dense conversation. There was a lot to go over. He was saying that he had not yet received many of the messages and packages meant for him, and that counterterrorism was going through them all and going through them very slowly. I mean, he's been in prison for 12 days, and he's only got one day's worth of emails. He did not receive the emails I had sent them. That was of concern to me. So they are infringing upon his legal rights. They're not gross infringements, but you've got to keep an eye on it. And given the sheer manpower attending to time, there must be 30 people working on. I mean, it's as if he's public enemy number one because he was live streaming some political commentary on Facebook. It really is a joke, the amount of manpower punishing a journalist that could be put on. There are literally ISIS terrorists in that prison right now, but Tommy's the one in the special handling unit. So as I return in my very long journey, I came all the way over this morning. I went straight to the prison, and we're going all the way home today. The whole round trip, I don't know, about 15 hours in the air, only about 6 or 7 hours on the ground. I am somewhat relieved, but I am still on alert because I see how quickly and capriciously Tommy's treatment can change. That is why I intend, with Tommy's approval, to return to prison several times before he is let out in 54 more days. If you agree that these visits are important, not only to talk to Tommy, but to let the prison governor know that someone is watching, to let the prison authority know that if they throw him in the hole, if they take away what privileges he has, someone will know, and the world will know. If you believe that's important, please help me. I mean, it's an absurd thing to come all the way from Canada. It's absurd from an amount of time needed. It's absurd from a cost point of view. But if you think that this is the only way to ensure Tommy's safety, which I do, there's simply no one else I trust to ask the right questions, to look Tommy in the eye and see what the answers are. I just had to see for myself, and I can say he's okay for now. If you want me to come back and do more of these crazy 24-hour round trips, I'll do them. But I do need help to cover the cost of the flight and the train fare and the cab fare. Hopefully I'll be able to do it at less expense next time, but it still will be thousands of dollars all in. If you can help, please go to prisonreports.com, and I'll keep doing these prison reports, both in these long-form videos, in short-form tweets, and I'm going to keep an eye on this lad till he gets out. Thanks very much, and I'll probably have some more videos later on today and tomorrow, but for now I'm just on my way to the airport. Thanks. I'm on a whistle-stop trip, planes, trains, and automobiles from Canada to Belmarsh Prison in London and back in less than 24 hours. My purpose, to report on the treatment of Tommy Robinson in Belmarsh Prison. If you want to see all my reports on the subject and chip in to help this crazy flight journey I'm on, please go to prisonreports.com.
And welcome back to the English Defense League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider Mitchell. Right now, Jeff is kind of in a little spider hole at the moment, ducking a thunderstorm. When these things come up, we do have to sometimes shut our systems down because, hey, as anyone knows, a close lightning strike can wipe out your whole system. And Jeff wants to, of course, be there for everybody when he can. Okay, so he will be back with us when he can be back with us. In the meantime, I'm his wingman, Dave Agador Milner, and I'm going to be doing what I can to hold the fort for him. All right. Now, what you guys just heard was, of course, from Ezra Levant about Tommy Robinson in prison, and that really does seem to be the main factor here that we have to do is, or that we have to pay attention to, is making sure that he stays where he is in the prison that he is in, in lieu of just letting him out, because he never should have been put in there in the first place. And with the level of safety and privilege that he has, again, because he shouldn't be there in the first place. The last time he was in prison, you guys did hear this, he was taken from a relatively safe position and put into an extremely dangerous one, and put under what can only be described as mental torture for a period of weeks. Now, this is the kind of thing that we're trying to avoid this time. So it is good for people to know that there is someone in there watching, or someone who can go there and watch and make sure that this skullduggery does not happen. Now, it appears to me, at least, that the prison system is trying to dot all the I's and cross all the T's when it comes to treatment. I think this is partly because of people like Ezra Levant and others, again, such as ourselves, who reported on and then spread the news about the treatment that Tommy Robinson got last time. They don't want that to happen again, because let's face it, guys, the UK government, even though their pet media are out there saying they did the right thing and they're high-fiving each other and chest-bumping each other and talking about how awesome it is, they know that it was the wrong thing to do. They skewed their own legal system around like a pretzel, and what happened to Tommy Robinson was nothing more and nothing less than selective prosecution. Because if it hadn't been, there would have been at least a dozen other reporters in prison with Mr. Robinson. That didn't happen, okay? And by that, we can conclude that Tommy Robinson is in prison because he is Tommy Robinson. And we are going to be monitoring things ourselves in every way that we possibly can while he is in prison, to make sure that the rest of the world knows what's going on with him and what the UK government is putting him through. All right, now, before we move on, I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys, again, we're going to do this as long as Mr. Robinson is incarcerated. We may cut it out a day or two before, because obviously sending him snail mails a day or two before, they're obviously not going to get there. All right, but for almost all the time at least that he is incarcerated, we're going to offer out this information. And this is on the show page, the English Defense League radio show page for this show. And you can get to that, by the way, guys, and you can get to the chat room for our program. And you do that by logging on to blogtalkradio.com. You go to the top of the search, you go to the top of the page there, and there's a white search box to search for EDL Radio. Follow the links, and you'll get to the show page. Now, you can be a part of the chat room. All you have to do is log in. You do not have to log in, however, to get this information, okay? Now, you can send a snail mail to Tommy Robinson while he is in prison with the info below, or you can use the link that I'm going to give you, quoting his name and prison number, to send him an email, all right? Now, his name is, this may be a shock to some of you people, unless you've read a newspaper. His name is Stephen, Stephen, Yaxley Lennon. That's Yaxley, space, no dash, Lennon. Now, his prison number is A2084CG. That's A as in Alpha, 2084, C as in Charlie, our executive producer, and G as in Golf, A2084CG. That's his prison number, okay? Need those if you're going to write to him. Paper mail, a snail mail, however you want to put it, paper letter. HMP Belmarsh is where he is. Now, HMP stands, of course, for Her Majesty's Prison. HMP, of course, stands for Her Majesty's Prison. That's on Western Way, Thamesmead. Now, especially for you Americans, Thamesmead is spelled T-H-A-M-E-S-M-E-A-D. And that's in London. And the postal code for that, again, for Americans, that would be the zip code for that, is SE280EB. That's S as in Sierra, E as in Echo, 28, then 0, then E as in Echo, and B as in Bravo. All right? SE280EB. Now, if you want to write Tommy Robinson an email, you can do that for a price, the price of about 40p in the UK, a little bit less than a buck here in the United States. All right? And for that, okay, you will need to register on this website. But once you're done with all that hoopadoo, you can actually get this done, okay? The link to go to get this, to write Tommy Robinson an email, is https://www.emailaprisoner.com. Email a prisoner is one word. Okay, guys, so there you go. You can use that. Send him an email. And as Jeff says, if you send him a paper mail, all right, if you send him a snail mail, that will also help him just kind of while away the time while he's waiting to be let out. And that is anticipated to be somewhere around September the 16th. I don't like to make precise predictions on things like that because you never know. Okay, but I'm going to go ahead and say that. In the meantime, yeah, if you want to send him that kind of mail, I'm sure you would appreciate it. But if not, the emails will be encouraging as well. Okay, folks. Now, I'm going to go ahead as we're still waiting for Jeff Mitchell to come back. Remember, he is experiencing a thunderstorm right now and has probably had to shut his systems down. But we're going to hold the fort for him at least until the end of the show. We're going to switch over to another subject. And that other subject is that the United Kingdom now has a new prime minister. All right, and that's Boris Johnson, the former mayor of London and man about UK conservative politics. Conservative in the UK, by the way, folks. I don't want American conservatives to get anything confused. All right. Mr. Johnson is a guy that Jeff and I like to call Bobo the Clown. The press like to call him Bojo, but we call him Bobo the Clown because of a statement that he made while he was mayor of London after the murder. Well, I would say after the Islamic terrorist attack on Fusilier Lee Rigby, after Fusilier Rigby was hacked up on the streets of London, Mr. Johnson had the temerity to say that this had nothing to do with Islam, despite the fact that the two men who did this said that it absolutely had something to do with Islam and that they were acting under the aegis of Islamic doctrine. Okay. This to me and to Jeff, I don't want to speak for him, but I think I can in this case, this to both of us, was the signal that Mr. Johnson was acting as a dhimmi, almost a willing slave to Mohammedans. And this was not a good, not only was it not a good look for a mayor of London, This was a wrong message to send because it was just a plain lie, and he should have told the truth about this. But UK politics being what they are and Theresa May being the spectacular disappointment that she was as Prime Minister, particularly when it came to Brexit, Boris Johnson was brought in as Prime Minister, and after a considerable amount of legal of political wrangling. Now, I'm going to go ahead and play you guys this. This here comes from Breitbart UK. One of the things I love about Breitbart is they read the stories, so we don't have to. And if you want to go looking for it, the headline on this one is Prime Minister Johnson purges hardline remainers from cabinet. All right, you can find it that way. We're going to go ahead and play this. This is going to be about 3 minutes long, okay, guys? And you are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Check this out, guys.
Prime Minister Johnson clears out cabinet, makes fresh appointments. By Victoria Friedman on July 24, 2019. Ministers and candidates for cabinet are set to walk through the door of 10 Downing Street as Prime Minister Boris Johnson appoints his government. A dozen ministers have already been fired or resigned, as well as remainers leaving government, some Brexiteers, a number of which who backed May's deal or Johnson's leadership rival Jeremy Hunt, have also exited the cabinet on Wednesday, as Breitbart London has reported. According to Sky News, there is not one minister left in cabinet who was appointed by former Tory Prime Minister David Cameron in 2010, following today's firings and resignations. The BBC's Laura Kuensberg remarked that this is officially the biggest clear out of cabinet without a change of party in power. More than half of them gone. This is not a reshuffle, it's a new government. Media has been speculating the composition of Boris's top table of ministers, with it being expected to be comprised of between half to two-thirds of Brexiteers. This liplog is being updated as cabinet appointments are announced. Stay tuned for updates. Update 6:45 p.m., Priti Patel appointed Home Secretary. Taking over from Mr. Javid, recently appointed Chancellor of the Exchequer, it would see a return of Ms. Patel to the government. The minister was fired in 2017 from her role as the International Development Secretary by Theresa May for meeting with Israeli officials whilst on holiday without informing the Prime Minister. Ms. Patel formerly campaigned with Boris Johnson with Vote Leave in 2016. It is expected that Mr. Johnson will appoint a number of Vote Leave alumni to the cabinet and other roles. Earlier, Breitbart London reported that Dominic Cummings, one of the architects of the Vote Leave campaign, became Mr. Johnson's senior advisor, while the L's Robert Oxley and James Starkey have joined the number 10 media team. Liz Truss, who had been vying for the role of Chancellor, was seen entering number 10. Update 6:36 p.m., Sajid Javid appointed Chancellor of the Exchequer. It was confirmed that the first appointment is that of Sajid Javid, formerly the Home Secretary, who has been appointed Chancellor of the Exchequer, taking over from Philip Hammond, the Remain supporter who resigned earlier today. Mr. Javid and Liz Truss were both said to be vying for the role. Mr. Javid was the first minister to be seen going into Downing Street, signaling he was in line for a top role. The minister had reluctantly voted Remain in the 2016 referendum, and now says he fully backs the Tory government pledge to take the UK out of the EU. Others seen entering number 10 are Michael Gove, Stephen Barclay, and Ben Wallace, a longtime ally of Johnson.
And there you go, guys. Now, I want to, first of all, welcome you back to the English Defense League radio show. And second, to talk about this particular story. Now, they spoke of Sajid Javid. All right. Now, this guy was the Home Secretary, basically, for you Americans, the Homeland Security Secretary, let's call it, when Tommy Robinson served his earlier prison term. And this is a fellow that took his oath of office on a Koran, all right? And now he's Chancellor of the Exchequer, and it's too bad that Jeff is not here, because I would discuss with him just how important that particular role is. Jeff or Jan, either one would do. But I will say that it is kind of too bad that this individual is still a part of this administration, of the Johnson administration. I think that what it shows is that Mr. Johnson, in my opinion, deserves to be watched, and watched carefully. I know that everyone wanted to give Theresa May a chance, and they did. They gave her a chance when she was elected. And I know that at least some people want to give Boris Johnson a chance to see if he will deliver Brexit and maybe fix some of the other problems in the UK involving immigration and things of that nature. I have to say, guys, I don't see him fixing any of those issues involving immigration. I just don't see that happening. As for Brexit, he is claiming that he is going to deliver that within 99 days, no ifs or buts, ifs, ands, or buts, or whatever. In other words, by October, the end of October of this year, that's supposed to happen. Guys, I would say stay tuned, be watchful, but don't hold your breath. Now, what kind of a Brexit do I believe that Mr. Johnson is going to deliver? What kind of a Brexit is he going to deliver? I think that the kind he's going to deliver will be a fairly good severance of the UK from the EU on a business level. But I do not think that that is going to extend to the level of immigration, which is honestly the biggest reason, in my opinion, that people in 2016 voted to leave the EU. Because the United Kingdom was being flooded with migrants who had no skills and who had absolutely no intention of assimilating to the culture of the United Kingdom. This was the only way that the people could stand up and say there is something wrong with the Islamization of our country without being prosecuted for being racists. Guys, it's my opinion. I know that there are reports out there that say that it was about economics and overregulation and things like that. And I believe that it was on a lesser level, but I don't believe that it was that way on a primary level. I think it is what I just said it was. It is important that we remember that. And a few more items about Mr. Johnson, get it into a little bit of perspective. We're going to go ahead and run through a few headlines that I spotted in preparation for another program that I was invited to be a part of. Now, we're going to go ahead and take a look here at these. All right. One headline is Boris vows to love bomb rebel MPs after being crowned the PM. This is a very interesting thing, because one of the things that I did read about this guy is that he's going to have a cabinet of heavily consisting of Brexiteers, people who wanted to leave, but he is still going to have some Remainers in his cabinet, Javid being one of them. Not a smart move, in my opinion, but that is, and it does lead to the conclusions that I came to earlier. But he is going to do that. He's going to try and be softer and gentler, according to that report. Of course, what does President Trump think? according to the following headline, coming out of the Daily Mail, all right, they are going to do tremendous things. Donald Trump picks Nigel Farage out of Washington rally crowd and says he and Boris will work well together amid rumors. He could be the next U.S. ambassador to seal Brexit. All right. A Brexit trade deal. Pardon me, guys. Now, that may be and it may not be. I don't know. And you guys know Jeff's feelings and mine towards Nigel Farage. But there it is. President Trump is optimistic, not cautiously optimistic. I'm the one that's cautious, and so is Jeff, I think. President Trump is optimistic about a Johnson administration, and that could lead to some very good trade deals if Brexit is done right. Okay. That is one of those things where guys will just have to stay tuned. All right. Here's another one from the Daily Mail. This one is the Court of King Bojo, or as I call him, King Bobo. Loyal aides and a sky boss get rewards as Boris Johnson starts building the team he hopes will help him deliver Brexit. I'm just going to read the bullet points off this, guys. Johnson's team includes Andrew Griffith, who refuses to have a chair at work. Very strange. The oldest member of his team is a 69-year-old Eddie Lister, acting chief of staff. And the last bullet point, the heavyweight consultant Will Walden will be the behind-the-scenes troubleshooter. And, of course, when you have an endeavor like delivering Brexit, you need someone behind the scenes to pull all the levers and work all the other stuff. So we'll see if this Brexit team is more effective than the May Brexit team. But as I think we all know, it really isn't that much of a secret that I don't believe that Theresa May ever intended to deliver Brexit. She was a Remainer. She should have never taken the post of Prime Minister, in my opinion, especially not after the entire nation voted to leave the EU. But she did take the post, and she did waste all of that time and all of that money to do something that she didn't want to do in the first place. And she succeeded, not only in that, but in, for all practical purposes, destroying the Tory party in the UK. So good on you, Theresa. Good on you, Theresa. Go out and enjoy your 30 pieces of silver, you cow. Now, here's another headline. The pound to euro exchange rate rose as Mr. Johnson became PM. A little bit of hopefulness there. All right. And as her last appointment, we can't forget about the outgoing administration. Theresa May appointed Labour MP Fierce Corbyn, a Fierce Corbyn critic. We'll go ahead and read this next headline. Theresa May appoints Fierce Corbyn critic Labour MP John Mann as independent government advisor on anti-Semitism on her last day in power. Now, as we know, guys, especially in a nation like the UK, which has a growing and very vocal Mohammedan politician, anti-Semitism is on the rise, and it's going to stay on the rise. Now, whether it was advisable to appoint this guy as a head of that office, I don't know, but I'll read the bullet points anyway, or the subhead in this case. Labor MP John Mann was described by Mrs. May as a key voice on anti-Semitism, was famously seen confronting Ken Livingston over Zionism comments in 2016. So that's a mark in his favor. I tend not to really care about what Mrs. May has to say, as she's a well-known liar. The MP has frequently called out Mr. Corbyn. That's Jeremy Corbyn, head of the UK Labour Party. America, for Americans, that's their equivalent to the Democrat Party, for failing to address anti-Semitism during a February speech. He spoke on a need to take the war to the anti-Semites. Now, I have to say, guys, not being a Theresa May fan, I like that. I like that that was done, and I that's one thing. Hey, you know, maybe she had a come to Jesus moment just before she, hove out of office. Who knows? But hey, there it is. She made that appointment. But now it's all about Bobo the Clown and the circus he's building up. And I'd say, guys, that hopefully what we can do here is create an administration that is better than some of us think it's going to be. Okay, that is my hope. And I have to say that it is, it may be a forlorn hope, it may be a thin hope, but hey, it's there. And there you go. Now, I want to touch on another story, guys, that is in here. That this is, we like to do a story from the United States once in a while. Every one per show, if we can manage it, all right, because we are teamed up with the SHR Media Network, and we do have a large following in the United States on the show. And guys, this is a sign of the times, really. This is one we've been hanging on to for a while, and we haven't run it because we've been doing other things. All right, this one here is from the 28th of June. That'll show you how long we've been hanging on to this. All right, and it comes from Breitbart, of course. And its headline is "Illegal Alien Gets 4 Years in Prison." 4 years in prison, guys, for killing a Connecticut man. Okay, now I have this queued up in the studio. I'm going to go ahead and run this. And remember, you guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Jeff is currently experiencing a thunderstorm, so he can't be with us right now. But the moment he can come back, I'm sure he will. Okay, guys, but until then, listen to this from Breitbart. This will be just about 2 minutes long. Here we go.
Illegal alien gets 4 years in prison for killing Connecticut man, by John Binder on June 28, 2019. An illegal alien has been sentenced to just 4 years in prison after hitting and killing a Connecticut man last year and then fleeing the scene. Luis Lala, a 28-year-old illegal alien, was sentenced this week to 4 years in prison, according to the New Haven Register. After he hit and killed 37-year-old Bobby Sonny Ray Pinkston in June 2018 while allegedly driving under the influence of drugs and alcohol. "No amount of jail time will bring my brother back," Pinkston's brother told WTNH. According to prosecutors, Lala hit Pinkston, who was riding his motorcycle, on June 29, 2018. Following the accident, Pinkston was taken to a nearby hospital where he died. After the deadly crash, though, prosecutors said the illegal alien drove off from the scene and was eventually confronted by a witness down the road. That's when Lala, prosecutors said, ran into a nearby apartment building to hide. Following Pinkston's death, his family set up a GoFundMe account to raise money in his honor. "Not only was he a great brother, he was a wonderful father, son, friend, cousin, and the second oldest out of four of us," Pinkston's brother wrote. He loved to ride. His smile could light up a room full of darkness and his jokes made you laugh. His hugs were pure and he laughed with joy. You could tell him anything and he wouldn't judge you for it. Lala is likely to serve just 4 years in prison after taking a plea deal. After the illegal alien is released from prison, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, agency has requested that he be turned over to federal officials for deportation. John Binder is a reporter for Breitbart, Texas. Follow him on Twitter at @JXHNBinder.
And there you go, guys. That really is a sign of the times here in the United States of America. When someone, I'm going to use President Trump's terms, an animal from MS-13, which is one of the most vicious gangs that there is right now in the United States of America, can kill a man while under the influence of drugs and alcohol, driving under the influence, and while here illegally, and can get away with it. Not only can get away with it, but only gets 4 years for it. Now, let's be a little bit clear about this, guys. He is going to spend about 4 years in prison. And honestly, he's probably going to wind up having to serve that whole amount of time because he got, quote unquote, a plea deal. Now, that, for you guys in the UK, is when a prisoner makes a deal for a lesser sentence with usually a district attorney in exchange for information about other things. Okay. This is done all the time in the United States of America, and it is true that no amount of jail time is going to bring the individual back who was killed. All right. That said, guys, there has to be, in my opinion, a little bit more than just four lousy years for taking a life. But the fact is that MS-13 should not exist in the United States of America in the first place. And part of the reason that it does is because of a laxity that our governments have taken towards the prosecution and return of illegal aliens. And to a lesser extent, some of the people in these gangs. MS-13 has thousands of members in the United States of America. It should be treated like the scourge that it is. But every time someone like President Trump attempts to do that, there's always someone from the left coming up saying what a monster he is for actually wanting people to obey the law. This kind of thing has to stop, people, because these individuals are out there committing crimes that impinge on people. This isn't just the mob committing crimes against the mob. This affects real people. And it turns into things like home invasions of innocent people, murders, rapes, thefts. Something has to be done about it, and we're talking about real law enforcement and real prosecution and a real policy on immigration that says if you don't belong in this country, then you can't be here, and you will be sent back, regardless of your age, by the way. No excuses, no let-outs or anything of that nature, and certainly no jobs when you're here. In the United States of America, and I think this should resonate in the UK as well, all right, there should be a policy that does not welcome illegal aliens. That means no welfare of any kind at all. If you do that, and if you do things like what I recommend for the United States of America, jail terms for people who knowingly hire illegal aliens, all right, then that shuts off the magnet. And I can guarantee that the welfare parasites will stay exactly where they are. Because right now, they're coming into our nations, usually brought in by the left, and that's going to be their one job. Their one job is going to be to vote Labour in the UK or Democrat in the United States of America. This is the kind of thing that needs to be stopped at every level in government in both of our nations. All right, guys. Now, we're getting close to the end time of the show, but I wanted to run something. I wanted to talk to about something at the end here, and it's kind of a shame that Jeff isn't here. You know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to run a little something fun that Jeff found that he wanted to run. Okay, and this one is this one is kind of fun. So give a listen to this, guys. This is from a fellow named Fluffy. Jeff found this little audio, and this is about a minute and a half long. Give a listen to this. This is the English Defense League Radio Show. Here we go.
But in 1991, after we bankrupted the Soviet Union, and you know it broke up, basically, we experienced the greatest amount of growth any nation's ever experienced in the history of the world. Why? Because white, black, and brown were finally working together, okay? And all that changed on a Tuesday morning in 2001 when Arabs flew airplanes into buildings, and boom, we had a brand new race war. We had white, black, and brown versus a new kind of brown, okay? And that's where we're at now, okay? The Muslim is gonna get you. The Muslim is gonna get you. The Muslim is gonna get you tonight. Allah, Allah. Allah, Allah. That's the new boogeyman. Whatever you do, don't look in the mirror and say Muslim three times. One of them unibrow sons of bitches will show up right behind you with a big-ass turbine, beard, genie bottle in one hand, magic carpet in the other, dynamite belt. Last thing you'll smell is couscous, camel hump, and diesel fuel. Boom! Then he blows you up. Nuh-uh. Mm-hmm. Because the Muslim is gonna get you. The Muslim is gonna get you. The Muslim is gonna get you tonight. Allah, Allah. Allah.
That's good stuff, and I want to thank Jeff for finding that. That really is a that really is a fun one. You know, with that, guys, I guess I'll give my my final thought for the evening. It looks like Jeff isn't going to quite make it back for the end of the show. First of all, I want to apologize to everybody because the English Defense League radio show is not the English Defense League radio show without Jeff Mitchell. He is the heart and soul of this program, and it revolves around him. He started it. He wanted to contribute to the movement, the English Defense League, and he has been doing that for a long time now. And it's just a shame that you guys had to put up with me for most of the program instead of Jeff, but Jeff will be returning on Sunday at the helm of the ship, as he should be returning on Sunday at the helm of the ship. And I just hope that I've been able to provide you guys with a certain amount of information that you can use out there. You know, I just want to say that, guys, in the UK, please stay cool. And stay vigilant, as Jeff says. Jeff is quite right to say that. And that's a good thing for people in the United States of America as well, because not only, guys, do we have the Mohammedans to worry about, because jokes or not, the Muslim is going to get you when they get the opportunity. But we have governments that are going to help them do it, which is even a worse thing. So, as ordinary people, we have to do things like what Ezra Levant has done, which is be a reporter. And we are having to now fund people like Ezra Levant to get real journalism. Because as we see in the case of Tommy Robinson, real journalists are being thrown in prison while phony baloney, fake journalists and tabloid trash artists are out there printing lies and committing the same quote-unquote crimes, but you notice they don't wind up being put in prison. We're going to keep on being here, guys, to talk about this. We're going to keep on being here to talk about how this is bogus and it needs to change. And, folks, I hope that you will all join us on Sunday when we'll be back for another English Defense League radio show. And please join me, Dave Milner, at the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. That is under the aegis of SHR Media. I can also be heard at the SHR Media YouTube channel and on the Western Free Radio Network. My show times are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday in the United States. That's 6 p.m. in the UK, and on Saturdays at midnight in the United States, and that's 5 a.m. in the UK. In the meantime, guys, we're going to go ahead and get ready to shut this down. I want to say God bless you all for being here and listening to me and to Jeff. And yes, we will all be back, and Jan will be back just as soon as you can. Jan, love you, girl. So guys, please remember that if there wasn't you, there wouldn't be us. So please check us out live. Please check us out in podcast. Please check us out on the Unpleasant Blind Guy at Spreaker.com. And just be careful, be prosperous, be safe, and be blessed. And with that, this is the English Defense League Radio Show. Signing off for this evening, but we'll be back again on Sunday at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and at 3:30 p.m. in the United States of America. Folks, it's time for us to go underground. God bless you. See you, folks, right here on the English Defense League Radio Show, Sunday at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and 3:30 p.m. in the United States. No surrender. No surrender ever. God bless.